Cincinnati's place to talk.
This is the topic I've been trying to call and speak about.
55 KRC, the talk station.
Are you an engineer, Brian? Listen, I went to West Point.
All right. That's Bob McDonald. You better not question the veracity of what he says, or he'll remind you that he went to West Point. Happy Thursday. Brian Thomas here. Welcoming back to the 55 KRC Morning Show to talk about local issues, including the Music Hall and Union Terminal proposed sales tax. Dan Reginald. Dan, it's always good having you on, man.
Good morning, Brian. And okay, so I've heard what everybody is referring to as the interview.
I'm glad. And what was your take on it, Dan?
First of all, I'm gonna kind of pass on that, but I just want to say I've got a tremendous amount of respect for the committee. They're a group of talented people. I mean, my neighbor Wick Ock is the head architect. You couldn't be better than that. I mean, you've got people like Scott Farmer, Craig Lindner. I mean, this is a great group of people.
And Dan, real quick here, when you refer to the committee, and of course we're talking about the Union Terminal Music Hall proposal, a proposal which is going to increase the sales tax if it goes on the ballot. This is the preliminary discussions because county commissioners got to vote by August 1st. Whether or not to put the tax on the ballot. Then you ultimately get to decide in November. But the tax is there to raise, if I recall correctly, $331 million to be divided to basically two-thirds of Union Terminal, a third to Music Hall. Music Hall to do some upgrades, and Union Terminal to basically keep it from falling over. Now, with that in mind, you're referring to the committee that put together the study that decided it was going to cost $331 million to do this, right?
Yeah, the ICON Task Force Committee. And, you know, my whole concern on this, Brian, I'm kind of looking at this for three reasons. One, I'm a business guy. I pay sales tax. And I never like our business to put itself in an uncompetitive position with other businesses, which is exactly what Hamilton County will do if they keep increasing their sales tax. The second reason is, you know, you've been kind enough to help us with this Empower You series we run. This time, I don't want Groundhog Day on this whole Hamilton County, another $400 million in debt. And I want the people who have attended all our Empower You sessions, the 4,000 to 5,000 people, before this hits the ballot, I want them to be fully informed about what's going on. And if there is a solution, I want it to be permanent.
Well, and this is the thing that I struggle with. And I always like to begin these discussions by saying I of course, love and encourage everyone to go downtown and utilize the services and the beautiful things that are available there. Go see Union Terminal in the Museum Center. You're going to love it. It's an iconic building. It's beautiful. I hate the fact that it's falling over. But the reason it's falling over is because of decades of refusal to take care of it by the city of Cincinnati. They didn't allocate any resources to keep the thing from falling over. And so we here in the county are being asked to, well, to pay an extraordinary amount of money, an amount of money that wouldn't be there if they had taken care of it over the years, And taking the burden off the city of Cincinnati without any guarantee, and this goes back to your Groundhog Day comment, Dan, without any guarantee that we're going that they're going to run their house in a better way, that we aren't going to be asked down the road to start funding, the Freedom Center or some other building that's downtown. What's next?
And I'm going to have a chance to go down and visit with Doug McDonald at Union Terminal today, and I really look forward to seeing the building. And it's exactly your comments that caused me such concern that I felt like I needed to get kind of an outside-the-box committee to take a look at this. So I called just groups that I've worked with on different really important projects over the last 5 to 10 years. I've asked 13 groups to join me to take a look at this whole process. I formed a group called the Citizens Oversight Board. People like Ann Becker, one of your frequent guests, who I've had a tremendous amount of respect for. People like Nita Thomas, who's probably the single most connected person in the county. People like Jeff Capel, who I don't think anybody outside the commissioners knows more about the county than him. And we're going to take a look at it and kick the tires and really see what's there. And we're going to try to come up at least with our proposal or what we think should be done, and you're going to be one of the first people we tell.
I appreciate that. And this is the kind of oversight or checking into by outside people without any vested interest in this. And that was my only concern about Bob McDonald. You know, he comes in, he says, it's going to cost this much, and you cannot question the veracity of my figures because you're not an engineer, and I went to West Point. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, especially, Dan, after today. Because this morning I talked with Christopher Smitherman, who pointed out, and he said, you can't, I mean, they are thinking about applying the responsible bidder ordinance to the work. Now, how in the hell can you know how much it's going to cost when you don't even know the underlying terms and conditions of the bidding process?
Brian, what you've got here, in my view, the number one problem we've got right now is there's a complete void of information.
Yeah.
And
by design, Dan.
Exactly. And so I came up with just questions that I couldn't get answered. I came up with 39 questions, and I hope you'll pop them up on your blog site. I'll send them to you. And so I went down to this tax levy review committee meeting the other night. This is the group that's supposed to vet this whole process. But first, I'll have to tell you, to try to figure out who actually even owns these entities, I went to the city of Cincinnati on June 27th and sent them a public information request and told them that, you know, time was of the essence here because everybody's accelerating this so quick. And these people just absolutely would not communicate with me. They missed the deadline. I had to make 5 phone calls. I had to threaten legal action. And memo to file to Scott Stiles, the interim city manager, you have to communicate better. And so basically what happened, I made it to this committee meeting two nights ago, and in a public forum I told people I could not get answers to any of my questions from the city of Cincinnati, and a couple of very big, high-profile people, it's obvious to me, called the city of Cincinnati, and at 8:30 the next morning my phone rang. But I don't know if it's intentional that the facts aren't coming out.
Yes.
It's part of the plan. But anyway, so I went to this tax levy review group, which I know several of the people on the group, and they've got a very important role. What they're supposed to do is review what they call a levy funding agency that is requesting the money. Now, their charter says they're only supposed to look at property tax levies. It doesn't say anything about a sales tax levy at all. It doesn't say about if the commissioners have some kind of thing they want to investigate that they send it to this group. So my first question would be, why was it at the group to begin with?
But are they bound by the terms and conditions of their charge? I mean, the levy funding group or agency or this committee, like, you're supposed to look at only
that's
property tax?
That's what their mission statement says on their website. And whether there's anything legal or not, I don't know.
Okay.
These are good guys, and I don't want to get into that. But when I got to the meeting and I heard the ICONS task force make their presentation, it became very clear to me that the people on the ICONS task force don't have many answers to the questions, and that the Tax Levy Review Committee doesn't know many answers to the questions. And basically, we had a whole group of people in this room, and we were all flying blind. And basically, there were 5 entities that were discussed that night as possible entities involved in this relationship. One was the ICONS task force question, are they even a legal entity? Second was 3CDC. Third was the city of Cincinnati. Fourth was there was a suggestion by the levy seekers that they needed to have an additional conversation to take place. Or fifth, how about we come up with a different structure that makes sense? So the Tax Levy Review Group didn't even know who the entity was who they were supposed to be reviewing.
This sounds so unbelievably – I'm going to say half-baked, but I'm not even going to give it half.
Well, this is just typical if you drill down the kinds of things you find. So when I got home, I made them sit through 20 of my 39 questions, and a couple of them said they'd get me some stuff. But my question to the commissioners is, you had to at least have developed or written some kind of a deal sheet that explained most of these questions to your own committee before they started to review it, or what in the world are they even reviewing?
That's where the rubber meets the road right there, Dan. They had to have this information in order to come up with what they came up with, or it's, as I suggested it could be the other day, or it's just whole cloth made up.
Yeah, and so basically I sat down, wrote a letter to the commissioners, and I said, hey, I think you need to stop this process and make sure these people on the Tax Levy Review Board understand what they're supposed to be reviewing and understand the facts as you know them. For instance, Brian, nobody can tell me under this new entity who's going to own these buildings.
Well, that's... That seems to be so fundamental.
You've got to start there, right?
Exactly. Because who's going to be dealing with them once you think about it, Dan. Okay, the tax levy goes through. They get the $331 million. The building, construction, everything ends up costing $400 because they always go over. And then they get it all nice, neat, polished. They get everything they want. And then leave it to rot again. And then 40 years down the road, we have the same conversation.
I mean, and the Tax Levy Review Committee, whoever put them in motion, I mean, they had a great strategic goal. What their job is to put in steps to hold whatever agency is asking for this money accountable for using tax money wisely.
Oversight.
And if we don't have an agency that this review committee is even looking at, how can they hold them accountable?
Well, that's a great rhetorical question, Dan. Dan, hold on, because I want you to stick around. I want to hear, obviously, the revelations that they don't even have any concept of who's going to own it when this is all done. We've got to figure out what else they don't know, because I'm beginning to not like this proposal even more. Dan Ragina will continue. First word for Signature Hardware, local family-owned business. I love Signature Hardware. I got a lot of stuff from Signature Hardware. We did our half bath Signature Hardware. Got a beautiful bowl sink and beautiful granite top on a just lovely, actually just gorgeous vanity. Everything, yeah, and toilet and the whole nine yards. And the bathroom looks fantastic. Just so pleased. And my wife and I just went over there and just started looking. And it all started signaturehardware.com, where you can see all of the items available at Signature Hardware. They have a showroom located at 2700 Crescent Springs Pike in Erlanger. This is nationwide, though, local family-owned, but people from all over the country go to signaturehardware.com. Orders over $50 will ship to your door for free. We're lucky, though, because of the showroom right there at 2700 Crescent Springs Pike in Erlanger. We can stop in and see these items, these beautiful items in person. Something for every area of your home, particularly the kitchen and bath. It's Signature Hardware, online at signaturehardware.com. 820 at 55 KRC, the Talk Station. Brian Thomas here with Dan Ragginal, owner of Frame USA, a philanthropist, humanitarian, and person who's interested in, well, some sanity in connection with a Union Terminal Music Hall deal that seems to be just so flying so fast and furious at us. And as we learn more and more, particularly the facts that are revealed by Dan today, as well as Christopher Smitherman this morning, my uncomfortable conversation yesterday with Bob McDonald, who seems to have a level of, let's just try to slow down, seems to me to be your position, Dan. You're not saying no.
No.
You're just saying, wait a second, we're dealing with millions and millions of dollars. We're dealing with a tax increase that makes Hamilton County less competitive, and therefore it's worth a harder look.
I'd love to see something done for Union Terminal. I really, really would.
Me too. I love the building.
I believe the music hall situation is very different.
It is.
I heard your comment about the granite counters, and in my mind, much of this is cosmetic, and it's a beautiful building. I love to go there, but I've got serious questions when I spend $90 to go see the Messiah in December and a $3 ticket fee. You know, where'd the money go? Was none of that $93 used to take care of the facility?
No.
Is there a lease on Music Hall that the symphony pays? What's the amount of the lease? Will part of those funds go to take care of this issue? Steve Leeper from 3CDC was there the other night, and just to show you the tone of the meeting, and Brian, if I'm being paranoid, just say, Dan, you're being paranoid. There was question about this ownership thing, and I believe I've got this comment right. Steve's comment was, hey, we've got a 75-year operating lease on Music Hall, and the city will do anything that we ask them to do.
Ooh.
Now, has it been your experience that the city will do anything anybody asks them to do?
No, that is definitely not my experience, and certainly if Christopher Smitherman still is listening right now, he would be probably laughing right now. Yeah, right, because as I suggested this morning, that $1 bill they paid the city of Cincinnati to get the $75 lease came with a promise that I believe it was some Nippert money, $50 million or so was going to come in, and they would not need any additional taxpayer dollars. So I would say, in response to anything like that, would be, well, seems to me that you're in breach of your lease agreement. You didn't come to the table with everything that you promised when you got the place for the dollar, and now you're coming and asking us for more tax dollars. This directly contravenes the intent and the letter of the agreement, and therefore you are in breach. We'll see you in court.
A couple quick things.
I noticed he didn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, Dan.
Yeah, right. Just a couple quick things I also want to get out, and that is that in the meeting, It was flat out said prevailing wage will not apply to this project. For whatever that means, I heard Christopher's comments. One more thing we don't know the answer to. Last thing I definitely want to make sure I tell you, Brian, that I don't know if anybody's mentioned, is that the Tax Levy Review Committee in November 2013, so that's only 9 months ago, talked about Union Terminal and told them three things that Union Terminal must do to get additional funding. The first was to form this ICONS task force, which they've done. The second was to be able to control the funding that the Union Terminal had to change its ownership structure. That was a flat out, you have to do this for us to fund you. So my question to the Tax Levy Review Committee is, are you going to hold Union Terminal accountable for what you told them that they had to do? And because, you know, without some kind of ownership structure that the county has influence over, we could just be throwing all this money with just up in the air.
Well, it sounds to me like you have the same question about, like you have with your $93 ticket at the symphony. Where's this money going? And without that oversight and without that definition and the parameters very specifically set out, you invite, I would argue, waste and corruption and mismanagement.
What's that song? How does that song go? Slow down, you move too fast?
Yes.
You know, I just urge your listeners today to write the commissioners and really tell them to take their time on this one.
Well, Dan, I'm glad you are taking the time to ask the important questions. Questions, candidly, Dan, that you have to be very, very, very familiar with the project to even ask. I'm glad that you have this level of understanding, and I certainly appreciate it, as do my listeners. You're coming on and explaining it so clearly. This is frighteningly fast, and I'm shocked that, you know, at least one of the Hamilton County commissioners would be so interested in moving forward as to quickly put it on the ballot this November. I mean, I'm talking, of course, about Hartman. I mean, I don't know what, you know, Portoon, fine. I don't know if he is going to ultimately vote for it or not, but he seemed inclined to do so. But Monzel's got it right. Slow down. Wait. I'm puzzled. I really am.
And a couple of them, to their merit, have called me about the letter already, and we'll see where that goes.
Good.
But slow down, and thanks for letting me talk about it this morning, Brian.
Dan, we'll talk again. I'm certain of it. And if you get any additional information, if some of these questions get answered, please let me know, and I'll be happy to keep people up to speed as well.
Thank you.
Dan Ragenold, great man. I appreciate your time today. Keep up the fantastic work in the community. It's 825, 55 KRC, the talk station. Yeah, Dan's responsible for the Empower You series. He's into education. He wants informed citizens. It's a passion for him. You can come up with any conclusion you ultimately want, but just get the information first. He's also responsible for the Fill the Truck campaign, making sure that the needs of the local downtrodden, homeless, and the like are getting everything they need, particularly children for school. So I can't say enough about the man. 826, 55 KRC Talk Station. I can't say enough about Emory Federal Credit Union either. I've got accounts there, my wife and I, my kids, and they do a fantastic job. They're so nice to work with, and they make things easy. And I guess it's because we're owners of the bank. I mean, seriously, not-for-profit, member-owned. That's Emory Federal Credit Union. And they can do things, being member-owned, like return excess earnings to you in the form of a lower monthly car payment. Refinance your loan with Emory Federal Credit Union. They will knock 1 point off of your existing loan. I don't know what it is. They'll knock a percent off of it. Call them. There's some restrictions that can apply, and they'll let you know what they are. But if you open an Emory checking account with a debit card or MasterCard, they'll knock an extra 0.5% off of your existing automobile loan. So 1.5 points off. Call Emory today, 513-530-9351, 530-9351. You can check them out online at emoryfcu.org.